A Dialogue of Comfort Against Tribulation by St. Thomas More. Book 1, Chapter 1.
First shall you, good cousin, understand this. The natural wise men of this world, the old moral philosophers, labored much in this matter. And many natural reasons have they written, by which they might encourage men to set little by such goods, or such hurts either, the going and coming of which are the matter and cause of tribulation. Such are the goods of fortune, riches, favor, friends, fame, worldly honor, and such other things, or of the body, as beauty, strength, agility, liveliness, and health. These things, as you know, coming to us, are matter of worldly wealth. And taken from us by fortune, or by force, or the fear of losing them, they are matter of adversity and tribulation. For tribulation seemeth generally to signify nothing else but some kind of grief, either pain of the body, or heaviness of the mind. Now that the body should not feel what it feeleth, all the wit in the world cannot bring that about. But that the mind should not be grieved either with the pain that the body feeleth, or with occasions of heaviness offered and given unto the soul itself, this thing the philosophers labored very much about. And many goodly sayings have they toward strength and comfort against tribulation, exciting men to the full contempt of all worldly loss, and the despising of sickness, and all bodily grief, painful death, and all. Howbeit, indeed, for anything that ever I read in them, I never could yet find that those natural reasons were ever able to give sufficient comfort of themselves. For they never stretch so far, but that they leave untouched, for lack of necessary knowledge, that special point which not only is the chief comfort of all, but without which also all other comforts are nothing. And that point is to refer the final end of their comfort unto God, and to repute and take for the special cause of comfort that by the patient sufferance of their tribulation they shall attain his favor, and for their pain receive reward at his hand in heaven. And for lack of knowledge of this end, they did, as they needs must, leave untouched also the very special means without which we can never attain to this comfort, which is the gracious aid and help of God to move, stir, and guide us forward in the referring of all our spiritual comfort, yea, and our worldly comfort too, all unto that heavenly end. And therefore, as I say, for the lack of these things, all their comforting counsels are very far insufficient. Howbeit, though they be far unable to cure our disease of themselves, and therefore are not sufficient to be taken for our physicians, some good drugs they yet have in their shops. They may therefore be suffered to dwell among our apothecaries, if their medicines be made not of their own brains, but after the bills made by the great physician God, prescribing the medicines himself, and correcting the faults of their erroneous recipes. For unless we take this way with them, they shall not fail to do as many bold, blind apothecaries do, who, either for lucre or out of a foolish pride, give sick folk medicines of their own devising. For therewith do they kill in corners many such simple folk as they find so foolish as to put their lives in the hands of such ignorant and unlearned blind bayards. We shall, therefore, neither fully receive these philosophers' reasons in this matter, nor yet utterly refuse them. But using them in such order as may beseem them, we shall fetch the principal and effectual medicines against these diseases of tribulation from that high, great, and excellent physician, without whom we could never be healed of our deadly disease of damnation. For our necessity in that regard, the Spirit of God spiritually speaketh of himself to us, and biddeth us give him the honour of all our health. And therein he thus saith unto us, Honour thou the physician, for him hath the high God ordained for thy necessity. Therefore let us pray that high physician, our blessed Saviour Christ, whose holy manhood God ordained for our necessity, to cure our deadly wounds with the medicine made of the most wholesome blood of his own blessed body. And let us pray that as he cured our mortal malady by this incomparable medicine, it may please him to send us, and put in our minds at this time, such medicines as may so comfort and strengthen us in his grace against the sickness and sorrows of tribulation, that our deadly enemy, the devil, may never have the power, by his poisoned dart of murmur, grudge, and impatience, to turn our short sickness of worldly tribulation into the endless, everlasting death of infernal damnation.
Chapter 3.
Since all our principal comfort must come from God, we must first presuppose, in him to whom we shall give any effectual comfort with any spiritual counsel, one ground to begin with, on which all that we shall build may be supported and stand. That is, the ground and foundation of faith. Without this had ready before, all the spiritual comfort that any one may speak of can never avail a fly. For just as it would be utterly vain to lay natural reasons of comfort to him who hath no wit, so it undoubtedly would be frustrate to lay spiritual causes of comfort to him who hath no faith. For unless a man first believe that Holy Scripture is the Word of God, and that the Word of God is true, how can he take any comfort in that which the Scripture telleth him? A man must needs take little fruit of Scripture, if he either believe not that it be the Word of God, or else think that, though it were, it might yet, for all that, be untrue. As this faith is more strong or more faint, so shall the comforting words of Holy Scripture stand the man in more stead or less. This virtue of faith can no man give himself, nor yet any man to another. But though men may with preaching be ministers unto God therein, and though a man can with his own free will, obeying freely the inward inspiration of God, be a weak worker with Almighty God therein, yet is the faith indeed the gracious gift of God himself. For as St. James saith, Every good gift and every perfect gift is given from above, descending from the Father of lights. Therefore, feeling our faith by many tokens very faint, let us pray to him who giveth it to us, that it may please him to help and increase it. And let us first say with him in the gospel, I believe, good Lord, but help thou the lack of my belief. And afterwards let us pray with the apostles, Lord, increase our faith. And finally, let us consider by Christ's saying unto them that if we would not suffer the strength and fervor of our faith to wax lukewarm, or rather cold, and lose its vigor by scattering our minds abroad about so many trifling things that we very seldom think of the matters of the faith, we should withdraw our thought from the respect and regard of all worldly fantasies, and so gather our faith together into a little narrow room, and, like the little grain of mustard seed, which is by nature hot, we should set it in the garden of our soul, all weeds being pulled out, for the better feeding of our faith. Then shall it grow, and so spread up in height, that the birds, that is, the holy angels of heaven, shall breed in our soul, and bring forth virtues in the branches of our faith. And then, with the faithful trust that through the true belief of God's word we shall put in his promise, we shall be well able to command a great mountain of tribulation to void from the place where it stood in our heart. Whereas, with a very feeble faith and faint, we shall be scantly able to remove a little hillock. And therefore, as for the first conclusion, since we must of necessity, before any spiritual comfort, presuppose the foundation of faith, and since no man can give us faith, but only God, let us never cease to call upon God for it. Forsooth, good uncle, methinks that this foundation of faith, which, as you say, must be laid first, is so necessarily requisite that without it all spiritual comfort would be given utterly in vain. And therefore now shall we pray God for a full and fast faith. And I pray you, good uncle, proceed you farther in the process of your matter of spiritual comfort against tribulation. That shall I, cousin, with good will. End of chapter 2.